smoke weed every day.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, man.
There we go.
Bye. We are officially
wrapping up the month of March, gentlemen, and we are ready to talk some sports with you guys. It's been an amazing month, March Madness, NFL, baseball. It feels like everything is kind of cramped in. We got some hockey. We got a lot of things to discuss, as always. So without further ado, I want to check in with the fellas. For some reason, these guys were just overhyped this evening. I don't even know what's going on. So, you know, I'm going to try to calm them down a little bit here.
Wow.
Don't run on stage and do anything crazy, by the way, too. But before we get started, I would love to check in with you guys. Okay, so let's first and foremost, shout out to my guy, JQ. How you feeling?
First, we're going to give a shout out to Marcy. We're going to hire her as a production assistant, man. She gave you some major lighting on camera.
I know, right?
I just lifted it up, so it was really right there. So that's kind of how we do this. So I'm in the man cave. Anytime that I'm doing a good job, I'm in the man cave. So this is kind of what I do. So that's why I'm here. That's why you got stuff in the background, two TVs for video games, for watching TV at the same time. If I'm really bad, I got a place to sleep. You know, so it's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, it looks like you're making bed.
Yeah. That's okay. She actually slept in the man room last night, so I don't know how she infiltrated, but that's a whole other conversation. So I let her kind of have her moment, but that's okay. So, JQ, how you feeling this evening, bro?
You took the words out of my mouth. I said that's where you go when you get sent out of the bedroom for being too crazy. I see the bed down there, lock your ass up like Pulp Fiction.
Equal opportunity win, my friend. Equal opportunity win.
Oh, I'm just
messing
with you,
bro. Enough access, man. Yeah, it's all good.
Nah, man, I'm good. I figured since the Reds have won a couple games in spring training, they ain't going to win too many in the regular season. I guess I'll throw on my Reds gear for the day. Just it might be real far between.
What's going on, bro? Say, JQ, keep hope alive. That's what we're going to keep going with. Keep hope alive, my friend. We're going to check in with Rob Jazz. He sported that. Marcy asked him if he had any asparagus, so I guess that's eventually going to come into conversation at some point. Rob, how you feeling, bro?
Man, feeling great, man. Had asparagus for lunch today, but I just showed y'all that KFC bucket, man. It kind of had a little New Orleans dinner tonight. We had that red beans and some good old KFC chicken wings. Oh, yeah, we had that New Orleans dinner tonight, baby. So you know I'm good.
Yes, sir. Red beans and rice, baby.
This has been a first that there's been a KFC bucket ever on Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I think this is a momentous occasion that Rob Ford.
It's like Major League out here.
We should go and slap Rob Ford for bringing some KFC on the show. No, I'm just joking. All right, appreciate that, Rob. You know, again, just never thought that would be the case. He brought a bucket of KFC. Can't make this stuff
still got
up.
Some weed
in it. Is. I'm going to have to see evidence, my friend. We're going to have to see evidence of that.
Post-show. Post-show.
Curtis and Gary, how are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing good. I told Curtis that I was going to announce that he's my podcast work wife. So my work wife and I are doing good. Nice. Curtis, how are you feeling?
Well, Gary just told me 3 days he was going to be retiring from Delta Airlines.
Yes, I am. I got two more work shifts, and then I'm going to be officially retired.
Man, congratulations.
That's yes,
awesome.
Sir.
Hey, Gary, is your house okay? Are they finished
that
up
awesome.
A lot of the renovation stuff? Are that still going on and everything like that? Or how's everything going from that perspective?
You know what? We watch these DIY shows, and in a half an hour, they rebuild this house from, you know, start to finish. It's not quite happening like that in real life. I've got plumbing done, vapor barrier in, insulation in, and on Friday some drywallers are coming in. So it's slow. We'll be out of the house for another month and a half, maybe 2 months.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So it looks like sometime in May is what you're kind of looking for? Is that what it sounds like, if everything goes good and whatnot?
I'm hoping. You know, as these dominoes fall, right, if one of them messes up, it screws the whole schedule up, you know?
Mm.
We got a starting five here that we're here every week doing our thing. But, if you know, last week the dominoes kind of fell back a little bit. No offense to the goat, but, you know, we really appreciate what you do out here for us. So. And I'm talking to you, Andre. Thank you for setting everything up every week.
Appreciate that, too. JQ did
absolutely
a good job of standing in, and we appreciate him as well, too. So thank you for you guys. It's a privilege and an honor. And that means a lot to me, Gary. Somebody actually cares. But we'll keep it going, gentlemen. We're looking forward to a great show tonight. As always, we're going to discuss a lot of things really quickly to call the show the same number. It's the 424-243-9519. Make sure I said that right. Yep. I should have that number memorized in my head. Follow us on Twitter, which is always at 12manSports. And then follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man. We are there as well. Let's get started, guys. Let's kick us off. We've had a lot of flurry of NFL moves, and I guess the question is, does anybody want Baker Mayfield? Does anybody want Baker Mayfield? That's the question. Cowboys, come on. Saints, come on. Bengals, stand up. Does anybody want Baker Mayfield?
Shit, Falcons.
Let's go around the horn. Hey, check it. I'm going to start with the West Coast this time and see your thoughts, Curtis and Gary, then we'll kind of circle back around, if you will. So tell me your thoughts.
Well, I think there are a lot of teams that would want Baker Mayfield. Not the Baker Mayfield that thinks he's an elite starting quarterback in the league, but he's good enough to be in the league, and he's good enough to be a backup in the league and maybe even a starter on a team. He's not going to win you a championship or anything like that. But he's good enough to be in the league, and if he were to dial back the Baker Mayfield persona he's laying out there, you know. Number one, he crapped his own pants by not taking, a nice contract when he had an opportunity, and now he's going to get, now he's going to be hurting. Not hurting in the NFL standpoint, not the regular guys like us standpoint, but he should have taken a deal, and now he was expendable. He didn't think he was, but I think he'd be a decent backup. If we got him as a backup in Dallas, I'd be happy with that. I'd take him ahead of Cooper Rush. I probably would have taken him ahead of the Red Rocket too, but that's another topic for another podcaster to discuss.
Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but he might end up in New Orleans.
What would you think about that, Rob?
What's that?
Baker Mayfield in New Orleans.
I would have taken him over Andy Dalton, that's for sure, as a backup.
Yeah, I would have too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would have taken him as a backup. But obviously that's not gonna happen. You got Jameis Winston, and now you have Andy Dalton, you still have Ian Book. And I think Blake Bortles is on the roster, too, for the Saints. So, yeah, they, you know, so I don't think they're going to bring in Baker Mayfield on that team. But I could see the Giants getting involved possibly as a backup or someone that's going in and kind of challenge Daniel Jones. You know, the surprise them is Carolina and Seattle, and they haven't gotten involved in the conversations yet. And so it's going to be interesting if Cleveland is going to find a trade partner at all. And if, yeah, even Houston. But Houston seems to be all in on Davis Mills. They seem to really like him. He did really show some promise toward the end of the year.
He played he played well down the stretch this past season. The last two or three games, he actually played well if you were paying attention to him. But in Houston, nobody paid attention.
And if you really pay attention, you know, last year he was a sleeper quarterback in the draft, Davis Mills, coming out of Stanford. You know, a lot of scouts really liked him. They thought he was well-coached, knowledgeable, had it between the years. And he really started to show a lot of promise, as JQ just mentioned, towards the end of the year last year. So Houston seems to like him. It doesn't look like Houston is even contemplating picking the quarterback in the first round, even with the number three pick. So, you know, could they pick up a quarterback in this draft? Absolutely. It doesn't look like it's going to be a first or second round guy. Maybe someone to come in there and back up Davis Mills. So, yeah, it looked like Houston is all in on Davis Mills. But Seattle and Carolina are the two that are surprised that I'm surprised they haven't gotten a conversation with Baker Mayfield. But watch the Giants as a possible backup situation. And you still got to think at some point either Carolina or Seattle goes for him. But Cleveland might have to cut him.
Maybe that's what they're waiting on, Rob.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're waiting on.
They don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why. They don't want to do that. The reason what I read was that I think that most of that $18 million is guaranteed, and that's a fifth-year option for Baker, which is why Carolina and Seattle don't necessarily want to trade for him unless Cleveland is going to kick in some money, right, to help pay the remainder of that contract. They want him at their price. But you guys are missing one team, and this is why Cleveland has not cut him, because they do not want to do this, and it's Pittsburgh. And I don't want to see him go to Pittsburgh either. But they don't want to cut him because he will be – listen, he's as good as Trubisky, and he's better than Mason Rudolph. So you're talking about a team that could potentially use him, and he gets to stay in the division and play Cleveland twice a year. That is why Cleveland has not cut him yet, because they do not want that to happen where he can have his pick and he goes to Pittsburgh and starts and has to come back into the progressive field and light their ass up. So keep that one in the back of your back pocket, though, if they do cut him. But honestly, I feel like at this point, since they haven't decided to throw any money with the deal to, you know, ship him off to a Seattle or to a Carolina, they're holding on to him because they're praying that somebody misses one of these kids in this draft and then, you know, gets anxious and says, okay, I'll deal for Baker, because they do not want to see that dude go wear that black and gold and have to deal with his ass twice a year. I honestly think that's the main reason he hasn't been cut.
You know what? I agree with everything you said except one thing. I don't think Cleveland, you know, I don't think they fear Baker Mayfield. You know, they've seen him in practice. They've seen him in games. They've got a really good look at him. I think that's the only team maybe that wouldn't fear him.
Wow. Yep.
Well, I don't know. A woman scorn, baby, is like a quarterback scorn. You don't want to have his ass in the damn division and have to play you twice a year, and he gets up. He may not get up for nobody else. We're going to get up for their ass, and they worry about that. I promise you that they do.
Well, Cleveland's doing a smart thing right now. They're a long way away from having the possibility of cutting them, right? I mean, I think you hold on to them all the way up until training camp until you find the right deal if you have to. But I do think if you don't find a deal by training camp, you got to get rid of them. And but at some, you know, they're going to hold on to them as long as they possibly can. You want to get some kind of value in return, even if it's a third round, a fourth round pick, or even a fifth round pick. You want to get some kind of value in return. So they're going to hold them all the way up to training camp if they have to. Obviously, they will hope to get a trade done before this draft, but they'll be willing to sit on them all the way into training camp if they have to, and that would be the right move to make in this situation. There's no need to rush the situation.
And you got to think about this. The other piece of that is that Goodell's come out and said, you know, Watson violated the code. that he was. I don't think they're going to give him like that time served for being out last year. They're going to give him additional games, right? So if you don't have Baker, and then you know you still just got Prissett, right? Then what? Who else do you have Prissett in that situation if they come out and say, "Hey, Baker, I mean Deshaun's gone for 6 or 8 games"? So they may also be holding on to him for that particular piece too. That they may not have enough, like you said, camp arms or even a viable backup if Watson gets hit with a lengthy suspension in 2022.
I don't know. I don't think Baker Mayfield plays another game for Cleveland, though. I really don't. I think it's, you know, I really don't think he's going to play another game for Cleveland. They're going to have to, Cleveland's going to have to eat that one. They're going to have to go with Brissett or someone else. But, yeah, I don't see Baker staying and playing for Cleveland at all anymore. I don't see him taking another snap on the Browns.
Wow.
He might be holding a clipboard. He might not be taking a stab, but I hear you.
Yeah.
$18 million clipboard holder?
Shit, I'd be
like, that's the money Sean made last year.
I'd be like, have my head set on sweat. What's the play? What's the play called?
Who are you talking about?
I'd hold the shit out of that clipboard for $18 million. For real, right? I'd be
like,
yo, what you
doing? I have fucking PowerPoint slides and everything. I don't have the best clipboards you ever seen in your life.
You got the surface JT you put on the surface.
This is me. This is me holding the clipboard. Just, what do you mean I need to go in? Don't you have another quarterback on the roster? Yeah, I'm holding his clipboard up. Look at that. See, it's even right side up this time.
Right.
Baker was drafted in 2018. He kind of came out, you know, kind of swinging. It's just interesting how, you know, just a couple things have happened with that too. You know, when we talk about what happened with Deshaun, how he could have been drafted. It's just nuts how, you know, things happen too. So we'll definitely touch base with that story. I have not seen any more of his Cleveland Brown commercials. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but they have cut those all those commercials. You don't even see them anymore, which is obviously, you know, what's happened with that. It's just, it's kind of a, it's just getting messy, guys. So we'll see what happens. You thought about, like you talked about with Davis Mills is playing well, kind of, you know, surprised about that. But, you know, I think somewhere there's going to be a call some way, somehow. You know, we talked about Seattle, what's happening with that. You know, I'm curious about that. I am curious, like we talked about JQ, if Pittsburgh gives that final destination spot, because they don't want to do that. But if something happens, you just, you know, again, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is the answer by any means. But, you know, and then Carolina, they don't want that. It's just, I don't know. They don't keep having that carousel, if you will. I don't know why this topic keeps popping in here, just to kind of make, you know, Gary mad, but it always feels like, are the Green Bay Packers somehow around in this for some reason? We've had this for the past 10 weeks, and we got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. He's so pretty. Are the Green Bay Packers still a Super Bowl contender? So go ahead, thank you, and talk about that, because I got to end it with Gary. I can't wait to hear Curtis and Gary's thoughts, but go ahead, JQ, with that one, sir.
Well, the reason why I still say yes, they're going to have to adjust it. I mean, when you try to talk yourself into Will Fuller as a free agent to take the top off of defense, then you know you've messed up with Devontae Adams, because, come on, man, anybody trying to have Will Fuller for real on their team? But if you got Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you still got a chance. And the reason why I also say that is that division is still up for grabs. I mean, not for grabs. It's for theirs to have, right? You know, Chicago, I don't think is going to take that lead. None of us on this call trust Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? So, and Detroit is freaking Detroit. So when you know you're going to win your division and you're going to make the playoffs, to me, that always gives you a fighting chance if you're in the dance, right? And we talked about how loaded the AFC is. I mean, the NFC, you know, yeah, you got Tom Brady in the Bucs, you got Stafford in the Rams, don't get me wrong. I'm still not sold on Kyler Murray in Arizona because he's imploding. Dak in the Cowboys find a way to mess it up. Sorry, y'all, but they have, you know, towards the end of the season. So when you're talking about, you're really just talking about favorites in the NFC. You talk about the Rams and the Bucs, and you talk about Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, and we all think they're going to win that division. That's the reason why I feel they're still a Super Bowl chance, because you only got a couple other teams in the NFC, and you know they're going to win that division.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely think they're Super Bowl contenders, too. I don't think they're the favorite, though, but they are a contender. There's no doubt about it. They're not the favorite in the NFC. At this current time, obviously there's still a lot to go in the offseason, but they're not the favorite, but they're certainly still a contender just because of Aaron Rodgers. And also, you got to like the way their defense finished the season last year. Jair Alexander is one of the best defensive backs in the game. They got some great secondary play. They had a great front seven play toward the end of the year. Their overall defensive play was phenomenal. And they still got a good 1-2 punch in the running game, too. So keep that in mind. Obviously, there's still some work that needs to be done on that offensive line, and they're going to need some weapons on the perimeter. But other than that, they got a 1-2 puncher, maybe one of the best 1-2 punchers at the running back position. You still got Aaron Rodgers. You got a great defense. They're just going to have to continue to shore up that O-line and get some weapons on the perimeter. But they're certainly still a contender, but just not the favorite at this time.
Yeah, they're in that terrible division. I think Aaron may have took too much money for him to put right. The highest paid guy in the league. And I think that's where you want. And I don't think that's going to work out well.
Well, I look at it as you're right. The division, they're still the front runner in the division. And anytime you have a quarterback and, you know, that can throw the ball like he can, you are going to be, I don't think they'll be front runners. I think probably someone from the NFC West will end up being the front runner. Whoever wins, ends up winning that division, to me, will end up being the front runner because they tend to be more complete teams. And I'm saying that as with sadness, but the Cowboys will be in the playoffs because I think they'll be the strongest team in their division. But that doesn't put them in the dance. That just puts them in the playoffs. But you got to get in the playoffs before you can do anything. And Aaron Rodgers will be in the playoffs. Now we'll see if he can get his team, you know, number one. He's had lots and lots of, you know, home field advantages in his career. If he can get that, he'll even have a better shot. But I don't think he'll necessarily walk out of this one with home field advantage. I just think he'll win that division. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
I think the home field will probably come out of the West. You know, and those teams may.
No. You got to think of us with the NFC South looking down right now.
You're right. The Bucks.
Yeah,
I forgot about the Bucks. You're right.
But I do,
the
think,
only way the
I
Bucks,
do think
the
Packers
the only
have
way
a better
the Bucks,
chance. I do think the Packers have a better chance of having a higher seed than the division winner of the West. It's because the West is loaded still.
Well, you're right.
I think Seattle's taking a step back. But the Rams are obviously going to be a contender. I think Kyler Murray and the Cardinals get it together. I don't think they're a Super Bowl favorite, but I think they're a contender. And then also the 49ers just have a loaded roster. They just got to figure out the quarterback situation, but from the roster standpoint, they're loaded. And, I mean, they lost about 6 or 7 assistant coaches. That might hurt them a little bit to get the continuity together early in the year. But other than that, they have a loaded roster. So I think the Bucs, going into the season, I like the Bucs as a 1 seed and the Packers as a 2 seed just because of their divisions. I think the Eagles are going to be right there with the Cowboys in the East. The Bucks and the Eagles, I mean, for the Bucks and the Packers, it's a weak division right now.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some recent.
Way to straighten me out, Rob. Thanks. Pick on a senior citizen.
You did good.
No.
Hope you're happy. Boy, you feel good about that, don't you?
He's like, hope you're happy.
It's just our opinions. That's all. It's just the sports is about opinions.
Senior surprised me that Tom Brady came back. That surprised me. So they're eyeing in the Super Bowl. I think that's the only reason why Tom Brady came back. That they think they got enough to get Brady one more Super Bowl.
He's pretty greedy with him, but yeah.
This guy right here. He's like, I'm not finished. That's crazy. Let's talk about some recent free agency moves, Rob. And then I guess we appreciate you talking about the top, the NFL top eight picks, if you will. Appreciate you posting. I think you posted rounds the 2 through 4 on the Talkin' Sports page too. So we appreciate that as well. And then I can't wait to discuss some pressing needs for each team. So I think we definitely want to have some time to talk about what we feel our team's most pressing needs are. So we've got a lot of teams represented here. So I think we want to definitely lead into that as well. So go ahead, Rob, with that, sir.
Well, obviously the big move over the last week, and I think this happened after our show last week, was Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Obviously,
wow,
that's the biggest move. You know, the 4-year, $120 million deal sent shockwaves through the league. Obviously, the Chiefs didn't want to pay him that kind of money, and Miami was willing to. So you look at Miami, they're going all in right now. They got Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of impact this is going to have for Tua. So, I mean, they've got weapons for him now. They've got an offensive line, and they already had a really good defense. So it's going to be really interesting. That, man, the AFC, I don't know. AFC looks like they have about 10 to 12 contenders right now. It is unreal when you look at the AFC right now. So that was the big thing.
Before you finish about the Dolphins, I just want to say, too, as well, that's wrong what they did. They gave Mike McDaniels all the weapons. Then he gave Brian Flores nothing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah,
I'm just saying they gave you boys, they gave him everything. They didn't give Brian Flores that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And then the rest of the moves over the last week. Obviously, we're in that second wave of free agency now, almost making our way to the third wave of free agency. You look at the Chiefs responding to the losing Tyreek Hill. They signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Ronald Jones to the Chiefs. Greg Zuerlein going to the Jets. The Saints re-signed Tre'Quan Smith and then brought in Andy Dalton, of course. Trevor Siemian to the Bears. Malcolm Butler, after a year off, going back to the Patriots. That was a big surprise. I thought he was done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was retired. And then, of course, Solomon Thomas, who was once the number 3 overall pick in the draft, defensive tackle, going to the Jets. So, yeah, we're in that next wave of free agency. Just about all the big names are gone. You're going to see a lot of these kind of deals. You know, teams looking to fill some stop gaps. And then, of course, turning their attention toward the draft, you know, at this current time as well. So all the big names are just about gone now. All right,
yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill will trade. He, man, yeah, he's off set. So I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. he goes to where and take a little less and be a part-time player for contender, I think, is his best move. It's crazy. That Tyreek Hill deal, I know the Bengals are like, fuck, man. Because they got T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase coming up in back-to-back years, and you watching, you know, Devontae Adams get paid. You watch the Christian Kirk making a super amount of money in Jacksonville. And you watch the Tyreek Hill deal, right? So, you know, I know Ja'Marr Chase is going to be like, you guys gave me $30 million a year and you got to pay bro at the same time. So it worries me a little bit because you're going to have to or you're going to lose him, right? Given the production he did, if you keep that up. If you got a wide receiver coming up, that's good. Brace yourself.
Yeah, the Christian Kirk deal was the one that set it off, in my opinion. He was grossly overpaid, in my opinion. Nowhere near deserving of a 4-year, $84 million deal. And obviously Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill sees that and like, man, if he's getting $21 million deal, what are we worth? And so obviously, you know, that opens some eyes with their agents around the league, right? And, yeah, so – Christian Kirk, I mean, wow, what was Jacksonville doing with that deal? I have no idea. I think he'll have an impact for Jacksonville. But come on, he's not a $21 million a year receiver.
Yeah. So sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack it, but just the Tyreek Hill thing made me think about it selfishly.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah. No. It's a valid point, valid concern. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, yeah, all these moves is going to make a very interesting NFL. And I want to I want to kind of bury Seattle for me. Seattle is a great town, but the only thing they had going for them was that football team. And now that Russell's gone, the basketball got moved. They got a hockey team. And then that football team that never seems to get there. You know, once in my life, they got out of the playoff. So, here's my hope for Seattle fans. I guess that would be a hard place to be a worshiper. That's what Russell Wilson cares for.
Well, we kept them competitive. But as far as the Dolphins, the moves that they made, I don't think they're a team that's going to win the division, but I think they're definitely a playoff team, depending on we'll see how their young quarterback plays. That's mm-hmm. going to be the deciding thing right there. They got all the weapons. Right. You got everything you need now.
Yeah, the AFC
you want to
is
be the next,
loaded, man.
Yeah, you want to be
the
next.
Look at the AFC East. Look at the AFC East, I mean, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Patriots, all of them are playoff contenders. When you look at the AFC North, I mean, even though the Steelers are going to have Trubisky, they're still the Steelers. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was the average quarterback last year, and they made the playoffs. So you look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns with Watson, and the Bengals. So that's seven teams, and we're talking two divisions that could be contenders. Then when you look at the South, you got to look at the Colts and the Titans as contenders. I mean, we're up to nine teams, and then you throw in the whole AFC West. So, I mean, that's 13 out of 16 teams that on paper could look like they could be a playoff team next year. The AFC is going to be flat-out entertaining next year. I think every AFC matchup is going to be fun to watch next year. So the AFC is going to be flat-out loaded. And, the one good thing about Seattle right now is that look like DK Metcalf is going to be hosting the Oscars next year.
Touche. Marcy hated I keep bringing that up, so I had to, I kept getting cast on it, so I apologize. But, I will say watch out for the Dolphins. I know that I was a fan of Mike McDaniel because he did come from the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, so they will run the ball. You just need, Tua to not make mistakes. Like you said, Rob, they've got a ton of weapons. I mean, you add Tyreek Hill to that. You already got, I'm thinking Jalen Waddle last year. So it's just like.
Yeah, yep. Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle.
And the best quarterback, best friend is a running game, as you know. So you do just enough.
And Gesicki is tight end.
Roll him out.
Yep, Gesicki.
Roll him out.
Really
you have, Gesicki's good, too. Good call. So you protect Tua because you have that strong running game. And that way that keeps your defense fresh. If they're pretty optimistic, then this is a scary team. But like you said, you worry about the weight of the other AFC teams. But, Mike is going to kind of figure out his purpose. But once he gets that team rolling with that running game, they're going to be scary, if you will, too. So just you want to see what happens with that, too. Tua's got to play well. I think he's better than, Garoppolo, but he's got a running game. He's got so many weapons, guys. It's going to be interesting. Rob, go over the top.
So one other point I'll make to that is we talked about the way Davis Mills ended the season, but you really look at it, Tua actually finished the year really strong last year, too. And the Dolphins, what did they win, 8 out of the last 9 games? And the last 4 or 5 games, Tua was really good.
Travesty.
So if you're a Dolphins fan or a Dolphins organization, you hope a lot of that's going to transfer over to this upcoming season. But he really the light started to come on for him here in the second season toward the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We can go through your top 8 picks, Rob, in the mock draft. We do want to get to the pressing news for each of our teams. I can't wait to talk about this. So go ahead, Rob, and get to that really quickly.
Yeah, the top 8 of the latest mock draft. Aiden Hutchinson, obviously Jacksonville covered a lot in free agency, and it looks like They've covered a lot in the offensive line there in free agency, so I moved Aiden Hutchinson up to the one spot. Obviously, a lot of scouts are really ecstatic about his work ethic. Obviously, ran a 4.7, which is pretty good for a defensive end. He's got the arm length as well, and scouts look forward to that position, so he's up at the number one position. Detroit, I got him taking Kyle Hamilton, one of the better athletes in the draft. Safety, wow. Notre Dame, from Atlanta, you know, in the number two spot. Houston, you know, we talked about Davis Mills. We got him taking Ike Ekwonu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State. Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. I got him going to the Jets at number four. And we talked about the Giants and all their offensive line needs. I have him taking Evan Neal, offensive lineman, offensive tackle from Alabama, five. I actually got the Giants coming back in the second round and taking Zion Johnson, offensive guard from Boston College,
nice.
Too. So they're going to need to fill out their offensive line there. Carolina, I got them taking Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty, at number six in this mock. And the Giants come back around at number seven. I got them taking Jermaine Johnson, edge rusher from Florida State, in that position. And then Atlanta at number eight, I got him taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, come in and compete with Marcus Mariota. So that's the latest on the top eight of the mock draft.
Appreciate you putting that in. Let's talk about some pressing needs, if you will. So we're going to start with JQ, Bengals and Chiefs. We're going to go to Cowboys right after JQ, then we're going to go Saints and then Falcons, if you will, too. So, JQ, give us some pressing needs, draft needs, if you will, for the Bengals and the Chiefs. Go ahead, sir.
So, I mean, I won't be touching home. I'll start with the Chiefs. As we saw, I just think they still need some more secondary help. They need some more help on defense. But they also have to find a way to replace Tyreek Hill, and that's no easy feat, right? We just talked about how loaded he makes Miami, so you can't undercut that loss for the Chiefs. I like Scanlon, but he's no Tyreek Hill. So, They to me, are on the lookout for one of these. But the good thing about it, though, is with this draft capital that they picked up from Miami, right? You know, this is a very loaded wide receiver class. So they can double dip in there and just and throw some young bodies at it and see which one sticks. Because you still got Kelce, Amonestu, you know, roam in the middle. But to me, they revamped that offensive line, so I'm not worried about the offensive line. I think that's a solid pickup in getting Ronald Jones, because Ronald Jones doesn't have a lot of wear on his tread. You know what I mean? Like he had to sit a lot behind Fournette. So you got him and Ever Solaire as a 1-2 punch. You got, like you said, so it sounds a little bit also like, you know, the Kansas City, I mean, the Green Bay need, right? You got to fill out that outside with those playmakers on the outside, but you, in theory, have a strong tight end, a good offensive line, and a 1-2 punch of running back. But they just got to, you know, it just can't be a Frank Clark. Like, every time you watch the Kansas City game, like, oh, Frank Clark. It's like, it can't be him all the time. Like, you got to get out and do some help, right? So I think they need help at all three levels. On defense, so, you know, it'd be interesting to see how they prioritize it in the draft, you know, moving up in there and between trying to get wide receivers and fill out those three levels. For my Bengals, I love what they did on the offensive line. I think, you know, they're getting a lot of love for, you know, trying to protect Joe Burrow here with their moves in free agency. I don't think they really need to do anything with their playmakers. I love the Hayden Hurst signing for 1 year. He's going to get a ton of room to roam with those three wide receivers that Cincinnati has. They got a good back in Joe Mixon. I like Cincinnati's linebackers. What I don't love is we need another defensive tackle. They got to have another defensive end because you saw it. They just couldn't get any pressure in the second half on Matthew Stafford. I like Trey Henderson and Sam Hubbard, but they need one other guy to rotate in that mix. Maybe if it's a pass rush, a defensive tackle, or somebody just kind of – remember when the Giants used to do that NASCAR package where they would put four defensive ends in when they would get you on third down? Maybe you don't go that extreme, but, you know, you rotate them through to keep them fresh. And then they've got to get better on the back end, because when you decide to put Eli Apple on Cooper Kupp, that means you have a problem at cornerback. So, I mean, it's just the truth. Trey Wayne's robbed him for 2 years. He never played. Got a nice little deal for sustaining free agency, but never lived up to it. He's already been cut. So, to me, you know, it is defensive end, defensive tackle, secondary. And I wouldn't mind them throwing another pick, you know, especially if they get one of those compensatory picks in the third round, to add a little bit more youth and depth, like we talked about, Rob, before, in terms of that offensive line, just in case something happens. It's a long season. People get banged up a little bit. You don't want to have that big drop-off from, you know, one of those studs that you sign a face to get nicked for a game or two. You need to have a good young replacement there to kind of fill in. So that's what I would think of when I look at Kansas City and Cincinnati, what they need to do, you know, to address their glaring
weaknesses and needs.
Good stuff. Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys have got some glaring issues. They've got they need an edge rusher. You know, they need to draft an edge rusher if possible, maybe a defensive tackle. And what I see them doing, well, they'll take the best player available within what their needs are, but also their offensive line. They need to retool that offensive line. I would say that would be my first priority, is retool that offensive line and then an edge rusher. The offensive line, what they have left of it is old, still serviceable if you could get some, you know, some young talent around them. But right now, absolutely offensive line would be my number one thing. What about you, Curtis? What do you think?
Yeah, that's the same thing. I'm thinking concentrate more on defense. Amari Cooper is on the offensive line. But maybe they know something we don't. But
yeah, because he's Amari Cooper. Sorry.
Yeah. very confident. But yeah, you need to bolster that defense. And they're in a favorable division. Well, that's what I always look at when try and pick who's going to be a top excellent football team is the division first. And I think the Cowboys, they should, win that division. So they'll put themselves in a position
to get it done. Yep. Now you're favorable to this division. Good stuff. Thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Gary. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, we talk about the Saints. I mean, what we don't need is probably I mean,
who that?
But, you know, some needs are more than others. Some are more depth concerns. You know, you look at the quarterback position. I personally believe the Saints can win with Jameis Winston. I don't think we're a Super Bowl contender with Jameis Winston, but I think we're a playoff team with Jameis Winston. I mean, they were 5-2 last year before he got hurt. With that defense, he kept the turnovers under control with 14 touchdowns, only 3 INTs, and they stretched the field a lot more. We weren't able to do that with Drew Brees at the end of his career. He couldn't throw the ball past 20 yards. And, you know, Drew Brees' last season, he was a very average quarterback. And and they still went 12-4 and you know, won a division. And so I believe they can win with Jameis. So I don't think the Saints should reach for a quarterback in this draft, but if the right person falls to them, obviously you got to consider it. So I do have the Saints taking Carson Strong in the third round, quarterback from Nevada. Somebody that's development potential, has got a strong arm, is going to need some coaching. And then you got to look at the running back position. You got Alvin Kamara, you got Mark Ingram. They like the kid, Tony Jones from Notre Dame, from right here in St. Petersburg, Florida. But, you know, what's going to happen with Kamara? Is it going to be suspended 6 games, right? So, I mean, I don't think it's a position the Saints need to reach for. But if the opportunity comes for you, I don't have a running back. I have us taking one in this current mock, but it's also a position you got to consider. Wide receiver, Michael Thomas is coming back, right? He's missed the last year and a half. What kind of Michael Thomas are we getting back, right? Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith could really stretch the field. If Michael Thomas is healthy, you might have something there. But, once again, you got to consider the position. If a player falls to us, I don't have us taking a wide receiver at this current time in the mock, but it's something to consider. Tight end, you got, what are you talking, Taysom Hill, Adam Troutman. Come on. So now I don't have one. I don't have us taking one right now, but you got to consider it. Right? You got to consider the position.
Shut up.
But you know, I just talked about quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, but I do think a major need is offensive line, and this was a strength for the Saints. And now you just lost Ryan Armstead. And so, obviously, that's a major position. I have the Saints taking offensive linemen with our first two picks. The guy's taking Tyler Lindenbaum, interior lineman from Iowa in the first round.
Great pick.
And I got it taking Tyler Smith, offensive tackle from Tulsa in the second round. So, to me, that's a major need. And then we got some other minor needs. Defensive tackle, I don't have us taking one. You got to start thinking about the age of DeMario Davis. They're really high on Pete Werner, but we got to start looking at the age of DeMario Davis. And then you got to start looking at the age of Malcolm Jenkins, too, there. And I have the Saints taking Bubba Bolden safety.
Man, how old is Michael Jenkins?
So,
he's
about 40, though.
Michael Jenkins was your Falcon.
No, I said, how old is Eric Weddle, too, man? That's what I'm thinking about. Like, man, you got some old guys still performing.
Eric Weddle is 37.
Nuts, man. Oh, he's pretty old, too.
Well, Malcolm Jenkins is 34, but he seems like he's about 45.
I mean, he's
been playing forever.
Yeah,
he was on
the
same Super Bowl team in 2009-2010. He was a rookie on that team.
Good stuff.
So that's a mouthful for the Saints. We can almost take every position.
Maybe the best for last here. I love it. You know, wrapping up for the Falcons, it's tough, man, because, I would hope that we would spend free agency on the offensive line side. I'm not impressed with Matt Hennessy. I don't think he's the center. I mean, he played decent, so, you know, obviously in left guard was just a dumpster fire. So we're hoping that we bring in somebody to – I think we need a center and a left guard to stabilize that. I think eventually, you know, we signed – to be able for right tackle. So I think we'll kind of be some of that. Caleb McGarry, he's they're not going to re-up his for his fifth year, if you will. So that's from that perspective. I'm not really sure what direction we're going to go in the draft. We're going to go quarterback because, again, it's situations where, you know, next year's class is a better class, right, with C.J. Stroud and obviously Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. There's so many better quarterbacks. So it's like, you know, but you got to get to next year, right? So I don't know who else is out there. Lord forbid. I don't know if Baker Mayfield wants to be a backup. I don't even know. That's a whole other conversation. But you're not sure how Marcus Mariota is going to play, right? Because you don't know how if he's going to be durable enough for the season. So, Lord have mercy. We don't want Philippe Franks, Josh Rosen. That's a disaster too. So, not sure. I don't know if the Falcons are as high on Kenny Pickett. I think the Panthers are a lot higher on Kenny Pickett, believe it or not, than we think. And surprisingly, you hear rumors that Detroit really does like Malik Willis, too. So not sure how that's going to play out with your mocks, Rob. I would prefer at number 8. I don't think Malik is going to be there, but I'm thinking you're taking the best defensive player. I think you stack up defense, you stack up wide receiver. It's a deep wide receiver draft. That 8 pick, I'd rather get, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Trayvon Walker. Jordan Davis might be a little high there, but you want to get, like, that defensive player right there. For that second pick, 43, that's where you want to target, you know, the best wide receiver, whether it's George Pickens, whether it's Christian Watson, grab that. Obviously, we're going to need a tight end. I think if you want to get, like, a quarterback, you can possibly get one. I know you mentioned Carson Strong for your Bengals there, Rob. You know, this situation, I know you hate Sam Howell, but you know, somebody's there, right? You know, it's kind of one of the situation right there, right? You know, you want to get a Billy Ward. But there's a couple of quarterbacks that you may kind of like reach later on. So that's kind of me. I'm thinking all defense in this draft, get, you know, your defensive tackles, get some edge rushers, double down, if you will, unless we sign some free agency. Not sure what's going to happen with safety. Again, we re-signed Eric Harris, and then you got to think about what's happening with the Richie Grant, the second-year guy. He didn't play that well. Maybe he's learning DNP's defense. So I would say that we're going to solidify the offensive line in free agency because it's tough to put a rookie in there, right? But defense, it's just kind of like go. So I think that's kind of what I would do to kind of strengthen my team too. So, again, I'm not quite sure what they're going to do quarterback-wise. I don't know if they're going to draft somebody because we do need somebody, but it's just like I think we'd rather, you know, sign somebody, but, you know, I don't know how it's going to play out for sure. So that's my thoughts on that.
You look at the data, you look at the statistical data over the last few years, you get more and more offensive linemen and defensive linemen drafted in the first three rounds of playing right away. So you could you could get some guys to come in and really – those are probably the easiest positions to grade and judge. So those are the ones you can really hit on. So if the Falcons don't address it in free agency, I mean, obviously they can address it, you know, in a draft. I mean, I have them – I have the Falcons taking Jamari Sawyer, offensive tackle from Georgia in the third round. And then Ed Ingram, offensive guard from LSU in the fourth round. Sawyer may not be a guy that can come in and start right away, but he can give you some depth. But Ed Ingram, a guard, you can actually get a guard in the third, fourth round and come in and play right away. So
I think that's. I'm just making sure our talent guys can get guards because I'm not sure right now. We got one, Chris Linson. That's the one we've been like successful with for some reason. But and his brother, like if we get like Alex. That's kind of interesting too. His brother actually. Place too, so that'd be kind of cool to have both of them. But you know, he's a little smaller than his brother. But you know, you can get some people too. Go ahead, Rob. I didn't mean to cut you off. I got excited for that.
No. I was basically finished. Yeah, I was just saying, offensive lineman. You could find some guys that can come in and play right away on the offensive line. I mean,
so you know, what's crazy that all of us all mentioned offensive line like in the first or second one, like. What the hell is going on with the state offensive line in the NFL? Like, everybody just get old? Or this is a whole bunch of busts have happened? Because we got five different teams, and everybody said offensive line was either one or two. That to me, is crazy that all of us said the same thing.
Yeah. But, you know, out of the five teams we just talked about, the Chiefs' offensive line has actually gotten pretty good. Remember, they were in the Super Bowl against the Bucs a few years ago. Patrick Mahomes was getting his ass kicked. And all of a sudden, their offensive line, they went out and got some free agency. They went out and drafted Creed Humphrey. And they all of a sudden had one of the better lines in the league.
Four teams, not five. Yeah.
Yeah, we got you.
So, but, yeah. And you look at the Bengals, I mean, they've shored it up a lot in free agency. Like you said, it may not be bad to secure some depth.
Cornerback, right.
You know, the Saints feel pretty good about James Hurst, the left tackle. My personal belief, I still think we need more help on the offensive line. You know, even if you do think he's the answer, you know, you're going to need depth either way, right? And the Cowboys just lost Lael Collins. Someone else off the top of my head, yeah, I think they lost the offensive line too. All of our teams need some help.
You know, we're talking about an eighth of the team, you know, an eighth of the team. It looks like, everybody needs offensive line. And we need to talk about the Giants and the Jets, you know, like also whole, the Panthers, a whole bunch of teams that need offensive line help. It's crazy.
You're
So with New Orleans, you know, you want that offensive lineman to, you know, protect your – Winston and make sure he can get that ball out and all that. And for your team, you know, you're in the Super Bowl and you saw your guy, you know, running for his life some of the times, you know. And for us, just like you told us several shows ago when we were kind of, you know, downplaying what we think of Zeke, and you said there's still some left in the tank. Well, it's going to be wasted if they don't get some big bodies up there and create some space for that guy, you know. And so on all of our teams, of all of our teams, you know, I think your team is, even though it's in the AFC, that's just stacked of all of our teams. I think your team is the most complete team of our teams on this podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
So beefing up that, you know, offensive line for that young guy that's going to be able to, you know, lead your team is a super, super good move. You know, and the only my team, you know, Dak is only at his best when he's got a running attack to fall back
when they
on.
Rush for 100 yards.
With the play action pass and these sort of things and quick little outlet, whatever, you know. And you need that offensive line. And so, you know, lots of needs. It's going to be exciting to watch, or we'll probably get on here and some of us will say, What the hell?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, the draft is going to be good.
If they just would have
The good thing is the draft is loaded with offensive linemen, too. That's a good thing. And wide receivers, too. The Bengals are definitely better set up. Bengals has the best quarterback out of our four teams. Then he's got the best weapons out of our four teams. You look at the wide receiver, you look at the Joe Mixon combination. They can just get that offensive line together. I like to see Cincinnati spend a lot on defense in this draft, too, as JQ mentioned, too. I got them taking two cornerbacks, one in the third and one in the fourth round.
Two cornerbacks.
I got them taking Zion McCullum, the cornerback from Sam Houston State. Got long arms, 6'1". And then also they're coming back with Josh Thompson, cornerback from Texas in the fourth round. And Chuck, I got them taking Lewis Sine, safety from Georgia in the first round. Even though Jesse Bates is under the franchise contract, he's still not signed up long-term yet. So it could be, you know, an added incentive to get somebody in the long-term there, too. Great coverage safety and a hard-hitting tackling safety, too, coming out of the best defense in college this past season, too.
And, you know, you got to take Burrow and Chase.
Curtis, go ahead.
I mean, I think I said it last week, or the week before that, it was phenomenal for Cincinnati to get so wet. They beat Sac so much and still win those games. I've never seen nothing like that. Usually, where a defense can sack a guy 5 and 7 times, they beat him. The Cincinnati and Joe Burrow just threw that one dead buried out the window. But if they want him for, you know, for the long run, 10 years career.
They got to keep him upright.
They got to keep him upright. He cannot continue to be in the second. Because it cannot happen.
Agreed.
But Pittsburgh and Baltimore are not playing well. And he is crazy. They got defensive line that will come right at them. So,
All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We had a great time talking NFL. We're still wondering why Andre's wearing a Hawaiian rainbow, but I guess it's as bad as me having the Vermont Catamount hat T-shirt too, right?
Yeah.
You keep Hawaii's name out of your mouth, Rod.
Even if I want to go there? All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. Great evening talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to be back at you on – are we doing the show next week or are we taking a week off?
I am not.
Spring break.
We're going to come back at you in 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take next week off. We're going to have a refresher, spend some time with the family. So we're going to be back at you in 2 weeks from tonight. I don't have that exact date in front of me. I believe it's April the 12th. Yeah, it is, April 12th. Tuesday, April 12th, we'll be back on Tuesday, April 12th. For those of y'all in Raleigh-Durham, I know y'all gearing up for the Final Four. Got two teams in the Final Four, North Carolina and Duke. We want to hear from y'all on the show in 2 weeks. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. And in Kansas City, for the Kansas Jayhawks, That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Time, Albuquerque, 9 p.m., California, 8 p.m. And since we're talking about Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. for you all in 2 weeks on April the 12th. Make sure y'all tune in. We want to hear from you all. Good night, people.
Yeah, and I might have to work something out. Go ahead.
Oh, Curtis and I both lived over there. Curtis, you know, played football over there, and I lived over in Honolulu, suburb of Honolulu, Aiea, and I had this condo on the fifth floor of this building, and I had a view of, you know, Aloha Stadium, and I could watch the game, you know, because it's got these openings on each corner of the stadium, and I could watch the game from, like, the 20-yard line in from where I live. It's kind of fun. But it was a lot of fun living
big
over there.
Big ball of Gary. Big ball of Gary.
Yeah, I rolled
so,
I was going to say, I don't know. We might have to have, like, a 20-minute show, because that means Tuesday would be the day after the national championship game. Like, I can't do a whole hour, but, you know, we can work out that one, just do, like, an abbreviated one, just to talk about the championship game and jump off.
Fair enough. Piggyback what you said, Gary, too. You know, I've got family that live in Hawaii, so I had an opportunity to visit there. It was really cool. Been there a couple times. And so this is where I was able to pick up the sweatshirt. I was actually in Hawaii. I thought it was, like, a really cool-looking sweatshirt. So I appreciate that.
You were actually in Hawaii?
I'm sorry?
You were actually in Hawaii?
Yeah, I've got family over there, believe it or not. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then,
that means Andre got somebody in the top 100 cities in the country. If you name the top 100 city in the country, Andre's like, oh yeah, my uncle lives over there. Woo, shut up, it's Uncle Ray. Yeah, Dre
is
worldwide.
True. That's true.
Yeah, you got family in Germany too, don't you?
Germany, Amsterdam, Japan, Australia, California.
What you been doing in Amsterdam?
I'm sorry, sir.
What you been doing in Amsterdam, man? You must have had some of that
red light
in Amsterdam
district
tonight.
Did not even go to the red light district, so we're going to talk about that later.
I don't care who tells it.
We're going to have to do a check on him.
Right. You didn't go that close to go see it. You tell all the lies. I'm going while I'm here. I'll go when I'm going to get back.
I literally passed through it. But I was
his eyes kind of went like this when he said that. You know, his eyes weren't like that, you know. I'm the FBI agent.
It's something that you have to check out when you get there. It's just, the freedom is amazing. But I do get
my
passport redone, so that's the thing. But just to kind of talk about Hawaii, Gary, it was crazy because I actually went to the Pro Bowl, which was great. My aunt was able to secure tickets. And, you know, that's a really old stadium. But it was crazy because – you know, you're on an island, and I was wondering where everyone came from because you basically filled up. I'm like, where do all these people come from? But it was such a great experience to go to see Pro Bowl. I mean, it's not that nice of a stadium, honestly, but you're right, Gary. The sides are pretty open, so it's like it's old and creaky. Oh, man. But the players, they love going to Hawaii. You got to pay $10 for DJ, which is terrible. So other than that,
I've been twice.
Yeah.
I loved it both times going.
Yeah.
The NFL players practice at my high school. Lynn Swan, he was surrounded by a bunch of Hawaiian beauties. I'll never forget that. A lot of people day-to-day practice at my high school. Our high school was less than a mile away from the stadium.
Yeah.
And all the students would make two sides of the sidewalk and the bus carrying us to the game. We called it the victory match. We always had that in high school at Aloha Stadium. It was a great place to play football. because those Samoans killed all these wild things, you know, that they would sing and get you fired up to go out and kick some butt. And it was, like I said, I played with six people that in the NFL in my years of playing football in Hawaii. I mean, how valuable is that?
I like that pineapple dough whip over there in Hawaii.
What happened?
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
good.
That pineapple dough whip, man.
Let's bring it back. All right.
I was hoping that you guys would get the tie with Marcus Mariota too. So that's the whole thing. Well, you know, another reason why I was trying to like pull that in too. So that was kind of like my kind of side way of doing that too. But he's from Hawaii, if you did not know. So, you know, just FYI.
Yeah,
so
we know.
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Really quickly,
before we go.
Really quickly. Final four?
Before we
four?
Go.
Or
let me
shout
tell
out.
You guys
shout out.
I've had a hard time saying funny things because of this. But I was watching college. Mike Francis on his show, and he said the year that Baltimore went, you had Ray Lewis, and they had a couple of guys that played football with on their team. That he said he walked up to the line, and when the ball was snapped, he took a three-step drop and was destroyed. And Ray Lewis was in the football, first play of the game, three-step drop. And he was on his butt, and they were taking the ball in the end zone. And no team not there. We had one night first. And I remember him. Because he played like
First snap, huh?
First snap. Went right to him.
Welcome to the NFL.
Good stuff. That's right. Let's go ahead and I guess Rob, you want to do the last topics here, fantasy shout outs, and then just really quickly final four, and then we can wrap up the show so everyone can get some rest for tomorrow.
All right. Speaking of the final four, the NCAA bracket challenge. Look like JQ, you've already officially won it. So congratulations. It seems like one of these teams you actually got in the championship game. Who is it, Kansas or Duke?
Kansas, the only one I got left.
I picked them to go to Final Four, but not the championship game. So, yeah. So,
I can't believe you trusted Kansas, man. That's crazy.
Well, they're a really good team. And so congratulations to JQ. On the NCAA bracket challenge. And then our fantasy basketball shout-outs. The Blue Devil All-Star, Scary Daddy, the Sean from Atlanta, is the biggest winner of the week with an 8-1 victory over Hart High Five. And JQ team still in first place with the number one seed, 120-59-1. And JQ and I are going head-to-head for the championship this week. And what's the latest update? Last I saw, we were tied at 4. Yep, and looks like we're still tied at 4. Damn, Rudy Gobert, man. 1-for-6 from the foul line tonight.
Yeah, tied at 4,
I was 7-2.
Yeah, it's tied at 4. It's going to be a battle.
Yep, looks like we're going to have an intense battle this week. for the championship. So those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week. As far as the Final Four is concerned, man, the city of New Orleans lucked out like a bandit.
CBS.
Duke, Carolina, four basketball powerhouses. Kansas fans are going to be traveling. Duke, Carolina fans are going to be traveling. Then Villanova. I mean, you're talking about four blue bloods from a basketball perspective. You couldn't ask for a better Final Four when you look at the brands that they have here in the Final Four. So unbelievable. So it's going to be real interesting. Villanova's going to have a tough time without Justin Moore. I mean, Justin Moore averages 15 points a game. It's outside shooting, and they already don't have a lot of depth. They only play like six guys. So I think it's going to be really tough for them to beat Kansas. Kansas is loaded. The way they played Miami in the second half of that game was just an onslaught. Agbaji, David McCormick, Remy Martin. So they have a little bit more depth. I definitely like Kansas to make it to the championship game. And obviously you all know what my heart is with Duke and Carolina.
Duke all the way, man. I can't believe you like Duke so much.
No. Obviously, I'm pulling for Carolina. Carolina's starting five is the goodest starting five as any team in the country. I said that, I believe, on last week's show. We don't have the depth as well. And Duke, when you really look at it, they got five first-round draft picks on that team, and they got another guy that can get picked in the second round. So if they're on, they're going to be extremely tough to beat. I know they're young. I'm picking Duke and Kansas to go to the championship game. Obviously, I'm pulling for Carolina all the way. And I'm having to, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, I'm just going to have to go with the NBA players. I'm picking Duke to win the championship. And I hope I'm wrong, because I hate Duke. But, you know, they're the ones with the NBA prospects. Like I said, they got five guys that's potential to be first-round picks and another guy in the second round. So when you look at that from a personnel standpoint, even Kansas, Agbaji is the only player that looks like he'll be a first-round pick in this draft. Villanova don't have any first-round picks. Not even Carolina have any first-round picks on this team. Duke is the one with the most talent. Doesn't mean they're going to win. The one concern you have for Duke is their defense. Will their defense show up? But they have the personnel for sure.
Listen, this is so crazy loaded that in any other year, Kansas and Villanova would get so much hype with those two teams and their history of those programs. And we aren't even going to even talk about them probably nationally, because it's hard to believe this is the first time that Duke and North Carolina have ever met in the tournament, and they're meeting in the Final Four. Listen, I don't care what nobody says. CBS already had the envelopes ready for the refs. There was no way St. Peter's was going to beat North Carolina to keep rolling.
That was not going to happen.
The ratings for Duke, North Carolina in the Final Four for their first time meeting ever in the tournament is going to be so stupid. They were never, ever, ever, ever going to keep that from happening. And I just feel like the fix is going to be in for Coach K. They're going to look at Super Dash like, oh, you got more time. You know what I mean? Like, Coach K Swanson in New Orleans going through North Carolina. North Carolina ain't getting ready to get no 50-50 calls in that game. I hate to tell you that, Rob.
That's
I'm a North Carolina fan, too. I'd rather see that beat Duke. If there's a close call, it's going to go Duke's way. They want to see Coach K go out on top. I don't care what they say.
That's true.
If you get in the truth serum, I believe the CBS, they're going to have Luther Vandross thinking, and Coach K and his family are going to be crying. I mean, that shit writes itself, bro. Like, that's what they want. I firmly believe that. And I believe the Vandross is going to be the MOP. You know, the one-sided moment at the end? You know, They won't listen to me playing and have Coach K and his wife crying. You know they do.
I think Vandross, he's going to be my pick for most outstanding player, too. Absolutely. I mean, he's top three pick in the draft. Armando Bacot or Leaky Black is going to have to come up big to slow him down and have any chance.
Yeah, I'm not a Blue Devil fan at all, but that's just how I feel. If you get that kind of matchup, that kind of send off, and then be able to hype this game up, and then hype it up enough for another 2 days, and Coach K makes it to the championship game, so you get Duke and Coach K all the time, and he wins it. You know that's what CBS and NCAA wants.
Yeah.
They can't tell me otherwise. I won't believe them.
You know, what's crazy, that's too, this year is that they all year long, they've been saying the ACC, this was the down year for the ACC. They had three teams. They were the only conference that had three teams in the Elite Eight. The only conference that got two teams in the Final Four. Carolina finished second in the conference, and they were number eight seed. I mean,
right.
How did that happen? Yeah. When do you have a second-place team in ACC as an eight seed in the tournament? So, obviously, they were probably a little bit more underrated this year than they normally are. Mm-hmm.
They got slick. They knew what they was doing, put them on the same side of the bracket in case that happened, the same way they had Ohio State and then Michigan had both made it. They would have made the Sweet 16. They ain't fooling me with what they have happening. There is a science and an art to what they do, and they play those numbers like, well, if these things happen, we're going to get these matchups. They know exactly what they're doing.
I agree with JQ, 1,000%. Them jokers knew what was happening, man. They set that up.
Yeah, I mean, the city.
Like, never seen each other.
Some of the most highest-priced Final Four tickets in history. It's unreal of the ticket prices and even the airline tickets. And people are paying $2,000 just to fly there in coach.
Shit. You better get your ass and take another day off and drive for $300.
In coach. Paying $2,000 for flying
terrible, man.
To go to Final Four.
Price gouging going on, man. That's terrible. That's terrible, guys.
JQ, who do you have winning it all?
Duke.
You have Duke? Okay. Then I'm going to go with Duke because of JQ.
Oh, stop it.
You can always go with the Vermont Catamounts, by the way. Catamounts.
Oh, my Catamounts.
This Final Four kind of reminds me of Jim Van Zandt. Remember when Houston had Clyde Drexler and King?
Olajuwon.
Twin Towers. Oh, the Towers was there too?
By some guy named Willingham and that team. This tournament has that kind of potential where, like you said, Duke with all those Super Bowl superstars might lose to a team that just here at the right time and the memorable shot like happened with Clyde and Hakeem Olajuwon and Jimmy Van Zandt running all over the court. Man, was that a good one.
I hope that happens. I hope I put the reverse jinx on Duke. I just feel like the fix is in. That they're going to get all the love and all the calls. I hope I'm putting the kibosh on them. I really don't want it to happen, but I just feel like they're going to get all the 50-50 balls. It's going to go their way.
I agree with you. I'm hoping it works. That's I think UCLA to beat my Tar Heels last week, and North Carolina pulled it out and beat St. Peter. So I'm hoping it works. The reverse psychology works again.
Right.
I don't want to see Duke, man. I was pulling for Arkansas like heck to beat Duke this past weekend, and they didn't have a shot. Their mother-in-law defense didn't come through.
Remember 40 minutes of hell that back in the day with Nolan Richardson? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Nolan Richardson. We're going to give him 40 minutes of hell.
That's what
yes, sir.
Too. That, you did not want to face that team. Them jokers were crazy. We appreciate you guys. We'll get some rest. I kind of think that Duke is going to pull this off, guys, because they want to send Coach K on top, man. At first, it was kind of like, yeah, but now it's like we were thinking that they weren't, they were just freshmen. But, yeah, but it's like.
The only thing you can hope for is too much pressure on the guy. That's the only thing you can hope for. Mm-hmm.
They're going to make sure he gets his
life. Yeah,
he's
like
going to
go said,
out, bro.
But like you said, they got too many dudes. When it comes to that, and that guard play we talk about in the tournament, they got too many dudes on Duke, honestly, that can get their own shot. Now, whether they can make it or not, that's what we talk about with the pressure. But they aren't a whole bunch of dudes that are depending necessarily on pick and rolls and scheme to get them open. You got two dudes, especially in Moore and Banchero, that can go get their own shot when push comes to shove. So I hope it doesn't happen, but I just.
And then you got Pat Williams in the middle who's going to, you know, I mean, Baycott is going to hold his own for Carolina on the boards with Pat Williams. So that they may neutralize each other, but when you look at it, Duke has some other guys that have some size too, as you mentioned in Banchero. The only hope if you're Carolina, Brady Manick has got to be hitting from the outside. Caleb Love has got to be knocking it down from the outside, and R.J. Davis. The three-point game is going to have to be on for Carolina for them to have a shot. And then the only other hope is that Duke, their defense has been lackluster most of the year. You know, the last time they played, Carolina put up 94 points on them, which was quite a bit in the 40-minute college game. So that's the only hope if you're Carolina. But Carolina cannot get in any foul trouble. They can't throw any elbows and get anybody ejected because they lose one player, they're done. Yeah, because they don't have the depth. They just don't have the depth.
Rasheed Wallace is ready.
Okay, all right, we're going to
guys, Chris, Gary, appreciate you guys. Get some rest. JQ, appreciate you guys. If we are doing the show, text me literally early the week. I just got finished with Drew Diddy. I've been catching up, guys, so it's been a long week. But just let me know if we're doing that and whatnot, too. So we'll go from there. All right? Guys, have a great rest of your day. We're looking forward to it. Be safe, guys, as always. Thanks, guys.
Great show, Daddy. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Good night.